Now he looked back, not out of any desire to return, but to see by the light of day what hazards he had gone through in the dark. So he saw more perfectly the ditch that was on the right, and the marsh that was on the left, and how narrow the path was between them. Also he now saw the hobgoblins and satyrs and dragons of the pit afar off, for after daybreak they did not come near him. Yet they were revealed to him according to that which is written, "He discovereth deep things out of darkness, and bringeth out to light the shadow of death." Christian was greatly affected by his deliverance from all the dangers of his solitary way, which, though he had feared them more before, he now saw more clearly because the light of day made them conspicuous to him. And about this time the sun was rising, and this was another mercy to Christian. For you must note that though the first part of the valley of the shadow of death was dangerous, this second part, which he had yet to travel, was far more dangerous. From the place where he now stood to the end of the valley, the way was filled with snares, traps, gins, nets, pits, deep holes and slopes. Had it now been dark, as it was when he came the first part of the way, and had he had 1,000 souls, they would have had reason to be cast away. But as I said, the sun was rising. So he said, "His candle shineth on my head, and by his light I go through darkness." In this light, therefore, he came to the end of the valley. And I saw in my dream that at the end of this valley lay blood, bones, ashes, and mangled bodies of pilgrims who had gone this way before. And while I was wondering about the reason for this, I saw a little ways in front of me a cave where 2 giants, Pope and Pagan, had lived, by whose power and tyranny the men whose remains lay there were cruelly put to death. But Christian passed this place without much danger, which I wondered about. I have learned since that Pagan has been dead for some time, and the other, though still alive, has grown so crazy and stiff in his joints because of his age and the many dangerous skirmishes he met with in his younger days that he can now do little more than sit in the mouth of his cave, grinning at pilgrims as they go by and biting his nails because he cannot attack them. So Christian went on his way. Yet at the sight of the old man who sat in the mouth of the cave, he did not know what to think, especially since the man spoke to him, saying, "You will never change till more of you be burned." But Christian kept quiet and looked cheerful, and thus went by without being harmed. Then he sang, "O world of wonders, I can say no less, that I should be preserved in that distress, that I have met with here, O blessed be, that hand that from it hath delivered me. Dangers and darkness, devils, hell and sin, did compass me while I this veil was in. Yea, snares and pits and traps and nets did lie my path about, that worthless, silly I might have been catched, entangled, and cast down. But since I live, let Jesus wear the crown." Now as Christian went on his way, he came to a little hill which was set there so that pilgrims might see what lay before them. Christian climbed this, and looking ahead saw Faithful before him upon his journey. Then said Christian aloud, "Ho, ho, so ho, wait, and I will be your companion." At that Faithful looked behind him, and Christian cried again, "Wait, wait until I catch up with you." But Faithful answered, "No, my life depends on it, for the Avenger of Blood is behind me." At this Christian was somewhat moved, and using all his strength he quickly caught up with Faithful and overtook him, so that the last was first. Then Christian smiled proudly because he had gotten ahead of his brother, but not watching his feet carefully, he suddenly stumbled and fell, and could not get up again until Faithful came to help him. Then I saw in my dream that they went lovingly on together and had pleasant conversation about all the things that had happened to them on their pilgrimage. And thus Christian began. "My honored and well-beloved brother Faithful, I am glad I have caught up with you and that God has so tempered our spirits that we can walk as companions in this pleasant path. I had thought, dear friend, that I would have your company all the way from our town, but you started before me, so I was forced to come this far alone. How long did you stay in the City of Destruction before you set out after me on your pilgrimage? till I could stay no longer. For there was much talk after you were gone that our city would shortly be burned to the ground with fire from heaven. What? Did your neighbors talk like that? Yes, for a while it was on everybody's tongue. What? And did no one but you leave to escape the danger? Though there was, as I said, much talk about it, I do not think they really believed it, for in the heat of conversation I heard some of them speak contemptuously of you and your desperate journey, for that's what they called this pilgrimage of yours. But I did believe, and still do, that the end of our city will be with fire and brimstone from above, and therefore I have made my escape. Did you hear any talk of neighbor Pliable? Yes, Christian, I heard that he followed you till he came to the Swamp of Despond, where, as some said, he fell in. He did not want it known that he had done so, but I am sure he was covered with that kind of dirt. And what did the neighbors say to him? Since his return he has been greatly ridiculed by all sorts of people. Some mock and despise him, and scarcely anyone will give him work. He is now 7 times worse than if he had never left the city. But why should they be so set against him, since they also despise the way that he forsook? They say, hang him, he is a traitor. He was not true to his profession. I think God has stirred up even his enemies to scoff at him because he has forsaken the way. Did you talk with him before you left? I met him once in the streets, but he crossed over to the other side as though ashamed of what he had done, so I didn't speak to him. Well, when I first set out I had great hopes for that man, but now I fear he will perish in the overthrow of the city, for he is like the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Those are my fears for him too. But who can prevent the inevitable? Well, neighbor Faithful, let us leave him and talk of things that more immediately concern us. Tell me about your experiences on the way, for I know you have encountered some things, or else it will go down as a miracle. Faithful answered, I escaped the swamp that you fell into, and got up to the gate without that danger. Only I met with one whose name was Wanton, who would like to have done me harm. It was well you escaped her net. Joseph was tempted by her, and he escaped her as you did, but it almost cost him his life. What did she do to you? You cannot imagine unless you know what a flattering tongue she has. She made every effort to get me to turn aside to her, promising all kinds of satisfaction. I bet she did not promise you the satisfaction of a good conscience. You know what I mean, all kinds of carnal and fleshly satisfaction. Thank God you escaped her, for the abhorred of the Lord shall fall into her trap. Well, I don't know whether I completely escaped her or not. Why? I trust you did not consent to her desires. No, not to defile myself. For I remembered an old writing that I had seen which said, her steps lead straight to hell. So I shut my eyes so I would not be bewitched by her looks. Then she spoke harshly to me, and I went my way. Did you meet with any other assault as you traveled? When I came to the foot of the hill called Difficulty, I met a very aged man who asked me who I was and where I was going. I told him that I was a pilgrim going to the Celestial City. Then he said, you look like an honest fellow. Would you be content to live with me for the wages I shall give you? Then I asked him his name and where he lived. He said his name was the First Adam, and that he lived in the town of Deceit.